We've got breaking news. Let's get right into it on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden, and we have breaking news just within the last hour, so you can tell when I was recording this, but in the last hour, Jay Woodcroft has re-signed with the Edmonton Oilers. Per Nick Kypreos, Kevin Weeks has also reported on it in The Athletic's. Daniel Nugent Bowman has also reported on it. It's a 3-year deal for the Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft. Massive, massive deal for the Oilers. Now they can kind of move forward with their offseason. Just go, okay, now we know the system we're playing. Let's get into that. So we will talk about Jay Woodcroft and just what that means for the Edmonton Oilers. I was about to press record, and then we got the news. So thank goodness we got the news first. Also on today's episode, we're going to kind of revisit the Ethan Bear trade, not intentionally, because it seems like there's a lot of talk around Ethan Bear. So would he be a decent fit back with the Edmonton Oilers and Jay Woodcroft's system? We shall talk about that. Plus, the other side of the Ethan Bear trade, Warren Fogle, as we continue on with our season report cards for the Edmonton Oilers this past season, as Warren Fogle was the return piece for Ethan Bear. Just happened to be how things ended up here. But yes, let's start with Jay Woodcroft on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Now, I normally turn my phone off for these episodes just so you don't hear the buzzing, you know, all this stuff. But we are in the middle of some breaking news here. So if I do peep down or anything like that happens, please forgive me. I want to bring you the news as soon as it happens, okay? I have my background in news, so I want to bring it to you as soon as we do. But yes, Jay Woodcroft, 3-year deal for the Edmonton Oilers, or with the Edmonton Oilers, I should say. And I mean, it was one of my predictions that I came up with yesterday. So we are now 1-for-2, as Kuzmenko did sign in Vancouver yesterday, shortly after we posted and recorded. But that's okay. Jay Woodcroft, I mean, the things that he did with this team was amazing. Amazing. Really, I was on the boat of, you know what, you don't change your coach halfway through a season when you're trying to get into the playoffs. Now, it definitely did get to a very ugly point, and to a point where you're just like, you could not make a move. So on February 10th, they fired Dave Tippett and hired Jay Woodcroft in his first ever NHL coaching job. And that's behind the bench of a team that has Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, a team with tons of expectations and a team in one of the craziest hockey cities in the world. And Jay Woodcroft said, bring it on. Bring it on. And what happened? Since Jay Woodcroft took over on February 10th, the Edmonton Oilers were one of the top 3 teams in the league. You know who they were behind? The Colorado Avalanche and the Tampa Bay, the Florida Panthers. Florida hockey teams wrong. The Florida Panthers. In fact, at points, the Florida Panthers were not as good as the Edmonton Oilers. In fact, some of the best games the Edmonton Oilers played this season, not only were they under Jay Woodcroft, naturally, but as I've mentioned numerous times, were against teams like the Florida Panthers, like the Tampa Bay Lightning, like the Colorado Avalanche. And Jay Woodcroft took this team that was sitting outside of a playoff spot into the final four. And now taking a look at the Stanley Cup, a lot of people are saying, not me, but a lot of Oilers fans are going, well, it seemed like we were the real test. Now, obviously, last night, Tampa Bay did get the win, so it seems like Tampa Bay has a little bit of a buffer on us here. But, yes, Jay Woodcroft has evolved this team, really made them believe in the hockey that they're playing. And that seems simple. That seems like something a good coach should be able to do. Well, that is what Jay Woodcroft did. Because when he came in, he started from day one saying, this is the small picture. We're starting with the small picture, and everything after that doesn't matter. Let's go one day at a time, one game at a time, and worry about what's in front of us. Not what might happen. Let's worry about the absolutes. No ifs, ands, or maybes. We only deal in absolutes. And that is what Jay Woodcroft brought. And the other thing about Jay Woodcroft is that he didn't play favorites. He didn't really have favorites to play, except for those Bakersfield Condors guys that Dave Tippett could not get anything out of. The Kyler Yamamotos, the Ryan McLeods, the Evan Bouchards. All three of those guys are going to be imperative for the Oilers' success in the future. And Dave Tippett could not get much, if anything, out of those guys. Jay Woodcroft came in and he said, you know what? I've had Ryan McLeod down in Bakersfield, and I know that he is an elite. And I'm pretty, now don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure he said at least a very good penalty killer. So why is he not playing anytime on the penalty kill? Well, he put Ryan McLeod on the penalty kill, and look at that. He becomes one of your best penalty killers. He's played Ryan McLeod on the PK, as we've said, in all situations. Penalty kill, 5-on-5, power play, in the offensive zone, the defensive zone, in the neutral zone. He is effective everywhere, and that has a lot to do with the trust that Jay Woodcroft instills in his players. And then, when they're not playing well, what does he do? He goes to them and says, you know what? You know you're not playing well. So what do you need to do? This is what you need to do. This is what we see you doing well. So if you incorporate these things into your game, then you'll get back into the lineup. You'll be an effective hockey player for this hockey team. Guys like Derek Ryan sat there in front of the media and said, you know what? When Dave was here, we just didn't get that. We were told we had to play better. You know you have to play better. And that's all you got. But when Jay Woodcroft came in, you weren't playing well, and he said, this is what you're doing wrong, this is what you need to work on, and then you'll get back into the lineup. And like Derek Ryan said, I took those things, worked on them, and I got back into the lineup. That's how you become a good coach. You don't become a good coach by just going, oh, yeah, you go out, you know, putting out the right players, grunting and whatevering along the way. You have to work with the players. You have to work for the players, with the players, and with the organization as well. And Jay Woodcroft did that. And I am so excited to see what Jay Woodcroft will do in the future. Because guys like, maybe a guy like Ethan Bear, who we'll get more into what happened with Ethan Bear. We know a little bit of the story about Ethan Bear. But with Ethan Bear, it just seemed like it wasn't the system for him. Now, would OJ Woodcroft's system 100% suit him? We'll see. Now you get to see those players who you know. I mean, with a coach like Jay Woodcroft, he is somebody who sees every single little part of your game and tries to get the most out of those little parts. He puts you in a place to succeed, not just to force you into a spot to win a hockey game. To go out there and succeed, not only for the team, but for yourself as well. And that is how you create winning hockey teams. Look at the Colorado Avalanche. From the first line to the fourth line to the first pairing to the third pairing. From the starting goaltender to the backup goaltender to the third string goaltender you've never heard of. They go and do their job because Jared Bednar, a coach like him, goes up to them and says, you know what? This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. They implemented the system and look at where they are. They're one of the most dominant teams in the NHL. You don't think the Edmonton Oilers can get there too? Under Jay Woodcroft's tutelage, I would say they can. But We shall see. It's all just a matter of time for us to find out. Let's move on to Ethan Bear, as there has been a lot of rumors around Ethan Bear, whether or not he will stay in Carolina, which has naturally caused a storm on Oilers Twitter. So we will get to that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at Built Bar. You know, our friends over at Built are always coming up with amazing new flavors. Well, this time they have truly outdone themselves with their new mud pie flavor. And for the first time ever, Built is introducing the mud pie flavor in both mud pie bars and the mud pie puffs. You've got to try the mud pie as soon as possible. And you need to hurry, because the mud pie bar and the mud pie puffs are going so fast. And they're only available for a limited time. So visit Built.com to taste the deliciousness for yourself. What is great about Built is that all their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body actually absorbs better and more efficiently. Maybe I shouldn't say better. They absorb it more efficiently than normal proteins. And it provides a whole bunch of health benefits. So you can eat something that actually tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new Mud Pie Built Bar and Built Puff as well. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or you just need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar for you. Chocolate mousse, whipped cream, cookies and cream, crumble. Oh my goodness. Is anybody else feeling? I have to clean up. Get to Built.com right now to get your order of Mud Pie Bars and Puffs right now. You won't regret it. While you're over at Built.com, make sure you use the promo code LOCKED15, that is 15, to get 15% off your next order at Built.com. That is promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at Built.com. Alrighty. Let's move on to a former Edmonton Oiler. Oh, hold on. This is a break. It's a Tuesday. It's a beautiful Tuesday. Hopefully we don't get any rain today. But it's a break. Let's take a quick hydration break. Okay. Moving on to Ethan Bear. As Ethan Bear was a fan favorite and kind of a polarizing player in oil country, a guy who, you know, was brought into the Edmonton Oilers, was drafted by the Edmonton Oilers in his career, or was drafted by the Edmonton Oilers, I should say, later on in the draft as well. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he was a fifth or fourth round pick. The same draft also as Caleb Jones, who eventually also got traded in the same draft offseason as well. Weird offseason for the Edmonton Oilers last year, but Ethan Bear traded one for one for Warren Fogle, which we will get to later on today as well. But a trade a lot of people were kind of skeptical about. Now, I was one of those people as well, because I liked Ethan Bear. Ethan Bear was a strong defenseman, a solid defenseman. You obviously saw his offensive upside, and no matter what, Ethan Bear played for the crest on the front of the jersey, and as well as the name on the back of the jersey. He just played with pride, and that's the type of hockey player you want. Now, the thing about Ethan Bear is that he doesn't necessarily, for the Edmonton Oilers, have the skill that would be needed to get into the lineup. Now, I think that's a very tough thing to be said, because I think Ethan Bear, again, is a very solid defenseman. He deserves to be in the NHL because, again, he's a top-level defenseman. In last season, in 58 games played, he had 5 goals and 9 assists for 14 points. He started off the season on Carolina's top unit. Then he barely played in the playoffs. In fact, I don't think he played at all for the Carolina Hurricanes in the playoffs, and kind of fell out of favor. Now, it seems like Elliot Friedman has been reporting that the Carolina Hurricanes do want to bring back Ethan Bear, but they have given him permission to talk to other teams. So, naturally, Oilers fans go into a little bit of a frenzy. Now, as I just mentioned his stats last season, let's take a look at his numbers from when he was with the Edmonton Oilers. In 2020-2021, in 43 games played, so that was a shortened season, 2 goals, 6 assists, 8 points, so not a very good season. In 2019-2020, though, 17 games played, 5 goals, 16 assists, 21 points, and that was his career year. In his first year in the NHL, 18 games played, 1 goal, 3 assists, 4 points. So that 2019-2020 season is kind of that massive season, I guess, for Ethan Bear. 71 games played, almost played the entire year. It's tough. It's really tough for somebody like Ethan Bear to try and crack the Edmonton Oilers lineup. Where the issue with the Edmonton Oilers lineup and a defenseman like Ethan Bear is that the Edmonton Oilers need specialists. The Edmonton Oilers need guys who are either going to be very strong on the power play or offensively, or very strong defensively. Now, it doesn't really seem like Ethan Bear gives either one of those at all. He's not going to be playing on the Oilers power play when you've got guys like Evan Bouchard and Darnell Nurse who will be playing on the power play. Tyson Barrie is also currently an Edmonton Oiler on the depth chart right now, or under contract is what I meant to say. If he's going to leave, it's going to be by trade. So right now, Tyson Barrie is still on that team. Those are three offensive defensemen that Ethan Bear is just not going to get time over. Defensively, the Oilers re-sign a guy like Brett Kulak. Brett Kulak's better than him defensively. Cody Ceci is better than him defensively. I mean, Philip Broberg's going to be making the team this year. Marcus Niemelainen will probably be in and out for the Edmonton Oilers as well. So where does he fit? He's not going to be getting power play minutes. He's not going to be getting penalty kill minutes, penalty killing minutes or PK minutes. Last season on a team that had a very strong defensive or offensive-minded defensive core, I should say, and one of the top, as I say through gritted teeth, one of the top offensive defensemen this past season in Tony DeAngelo, he only played 32 minutes on the power play, did Ethan Bear, this past season for the Carolina Hurricanes. Almost 33, so we almost got there. On the penalty kill, 53 minutes on the penalty kill. So what really is Ethan Bear going to do? Are you really going to sign a defenseman who's only good at 5-on-5? Because 5-on-5, Ethan Bear, and we're going back to my goals for and goals against per 60 minutes stat, at 5-on-5, Ethan Bear sits at a 2.68 goals for per 60 minutes, which is greater than the average or the median or middle of the defensive pack. This is the sample size for these numbers are within defensemen who have played at least 300 minutes. So defensemen who have played basically all season and big time minutes, and he's a greater half of that, which is okay, with a 2.68. The middle of that is 2.53. So a little higher, not exactly the best. Now, this is where the issue comes in. At 5-on-5. At 5-on-5, goals against per 60 minutes, Ethan Bear had 2.69, okay? The median, or the middle, I guess, was 2.54. He is in the lower half of goals against per 60 minutes for all defensemen at 5-on-5. For a defenseman who's going to be mostly working at 5-on-5, why would you bring that in? A guy who is clearly not going to be as good as any of the other guys at 5-on-5, who is statistically, and again, statistically, I'm not saying this, statistically one of the worst, or on the worst half of a defensive defenseman. So what are you going to bring in? I've liked Ethan Bear's offensive upside his entire career. But his defensive upside is just not there. His ceiling is super low defensively. And you can see it with this 5-on-5 number. He's just not good at 5-on-5. And yet, if he were to sign with the Edmonton Oilers, he would be a 5-on-5 defenseman. So then why are you trying to bring in a guy like Ethan Bear? I just don't think that that is the right guy to bring in for the Edmonton Oilers. I understand the familiarity. I understand the potential. I understand. And again, this has nothing to do with the person of Ethan Bear. I adore the man of Ethan Bear. Ethan Bear is a great person. But I just don't think he fits into the Edmonton Oilers lineup anymore. And that was the issue. And again, that was the issue for Ethan Bear when he got traded in the playoffs against the Winnipeg Jets. He was almost non-existent. He couldn't get into the lineup. When he did, he was invisible. So it's just, it's left people with a tough taste in their mouth, and it just, including me. So Ethan Bear deserves a shot in the NHL. Unfortunately, not this year with the Edmonton Oilers. Unfortunately, because I do, again, like I said, I do love Ethan Bear as a person. I think he would do solid under Jay Woodcroft's regime, as most players would. But just not the guy you need for a Stanley Cup push. You want that Stanley Cup, and you can't just be bringing in guys based off of feelings, I guess. It's just got to be absolutes. Before we move on to Warren Fogel, who was the other side of that Ethan Bear trade, I just want to say thank you again for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. For your second listen, though, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL, as Locked On NHL covers the playoffs like no other. Hear the latest news and opinions from local experts every Monday through Friday. It is free and available wherever you find your podcast. Plus, it's on YouTube as well. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube of Locked On NHL or Locked On Oilers as well, make sure you go and do it as well, because it's a whole new experience. Maybe you're cleaning the house, got to throw something on the TV, pull up YouTube. You got the show. You got today's episode right on your TV there. Plus, you get to see our cool jerseys that we always pull up. I mean, it's still Tommy Salo and Ilya Brizgalov right now, but I'll bring some more fun ones. I've got some fun ones. If I've got an Ilya Brizgalov jersey signed, then I've got some fun Oilers jerseys, okay? But anyways, this isn't about me. Let's take our second and last hydration break before the day ends. Pinkies up. Alrighty. Let's move on to Warren Fogel, as another kind of polarizing face or player, I guess, for the Edmonton Oilers this year. Is yes, he was brought in that Ethan Bear trade, 1-for-1 from Carolina for Ethan Bear. Well, and it was certainly a season. But Warren Fogel in 82 games played, which is impressive in of its own. It is very impressive for Warren Fogel to play all 82 games this season for the Edmonton Oilers. But, and this is a big but. 82 games played for Warren Fogel this season. 12 goals, 14 assists, 26 games played. He was a goal away from his career high, a couple assists away from his career high, and 4 points away from his career high, but a career low in shooting percentage at 8.5. For a guy who is known to already have finishing issues, a career low in finishing is not great. Now, I will be the first to say that I love Warren Fogel's game. He goes in and works hard on every puck, every loose puck, every shift. He gives 150% in, and you love to see it. He just flies around. He's got tremendous feet. He's got a pretty good vision and gets into a good, solid open ice and gets open for his teammates. But when he gets the puck, when he's open, is not fantastic. Everybody, and that was the thing when the Edmonton Oilers brought in Warren Fogel. The thing that everybody was talking about and was tweeting about, they would pull up those Jay Fresh charts as if they're gospel, and they would go, oh, look, the finishing. He's never had the finishing before. Well, he hasn't had the finishing. He had a career low in finishing, in fact. And that continued into the playoffs. In the playoffs, in 13 games played, and at some point, he got taken out of the lineup. In 13 games played, 0 goals, 1 assist for 1 point. Warren, guys, everybody, no goals, 1 point, 13 games in the most important playoffs in the Oilers' last 20 years, 15 years at least, and you don't even put up a goal? I had Warren Fogle as my Fernando Pisani pick. He was kind of hot towards the end of the season. But that's it. That's it. That's really all Warren Fogle did was go out there and skate around. I mean, yes, he did get 26 points in 82 games, which is good, which is impressive. Not impressive, but those are solid numbers, double digits, and a guy who scored 10 goals for the Oilers this season, an assist away from 15. So, all things told, pretty decent. Bottom six guy, you brought him in to produce more in the bottom six, and you just didn't really get that. In all situations for the for Warren Fogle this past season, a 2.51 goals for per 60 minutes. That was good for 19th on the team. At 5-on-5, he had 2.34 goals for per 60 minutes. That was good for 20th on the Edmonton Oilers. Now, again, I am one of the biggest preachers of you don't have to score to be an effective hockey player. Look at how affectionate I am towards Jesse Puljujärvi. But the thing about Jesse Puljujärvi and players who don't score is that they're also effective defensively and in other parts of their game. Warren Fogle in all situations had a 2.9 goals against per 60 minutes, which was good for 17th on the Edmonton Oilers last year. And at 5-on-5, a 2.68 goals against per 60 minutes, which was good for 16th on the Edmonton Oilers. So he's not producing offensively. He's not exactly producing defensively in all situations or at 5-on-5. He's not really playing on the power play. He's not really playing on the penalty kill. Another guy who's just one of those 5-on-5 guys, and you take a look at his 5-on-5 numbers, 20th on the team in goals for per 60, 16th in goals against per 60. What's going on here? Continued on in the playoffs as well. In all situations, 1.42 goals for per 60 minutes for Warren Fogle. Last on the team for a guy who didn't score a single goal. At 5-on-5, a 1.46, which was second worst on the team behind Ryan McLeod, who we talked about the other day. But the difference between him and Ryan McLeod was, like we said with Jesse Puljujärvi, was Ryan McLeod was producing defensively. For the Edmonton Oilers, for Warren Fogle, excuse me, in all situations, 3.41 goals against per 60 minutes, 9th on the Oilers. So at least he's in the top 10. But this was kind of encouraging. At 5-on-5, a 3.01 goals against per 60 minutes. Although at 5-on-5, you don't really want 3 goals per game. That was 5th on the Oilers. And of course, those numbers are going to be skewed a little. And I shouldn't say skewed because that's the wrong word. But the Edmonton Oilers did have a couple games where, they lost 9-6. 8-6. So there were some high scoring games. In games that are 5+ goals or 60 minutes in a game that's 60 minutes, I should say, Warren Fogle allowing 3 goals per 60 minutes that he's out there. That's not great. Like, it may have been good for 5th on the team, but the fact that there are 15 other guys that have a worse is kind of scary. Warren Fogle did not have a good season, and I think we're paying Warren Fogle a little too much. Warren Fogle is an expendable piece, will be easy to move in regards to cap space. And he is an effective hockey player, especially for teams like Seattle or something like that, who can eat a little bit of cap and could take a guy who can just play, actually play a full 60 minutes without taking a breath, because that kid does have a motor in him. I'll be honest, I did have a C- for Warren Fogle, but talking it out here, even though it doesn't sound too compelling, I did like the 5-on-5 or 5 number, I guess, for goals against per 60 minutes in the playoffs. So that'll kind of bump him up a little bit. But he went from a C- to just a C. Warren Fogle, if the Oilers do keep him this year, I'm not 100% sure that they will. He has built a little bit of a rapport with Ryan McLeod and Evan Bouchard and Kyler Yamamoto. Those are really good friends there. So you don't want to break. I know you sit there and like, oh, they're friends. Having camaraderie on a team and being able to build a team. Well, team building is one of the biggest things when you see a good hockey team. They're close together, from the best player to arguably the worst player. This is a little off topic, but I was watching some of the NFL rookies talk about their rookie dinner, and most rookie dinners are around, like, the defensive backs will have a rookie dinner with the defensive back rookies. The offensive linemen will have, they break it up into zones, well, into positions. For the New England Patriots, which if you know anything about American football or NFL, you know that the New England Patriots are one of, if not the greatest dynasties in all of sports, really. And what do they do for their rookie dinners? They don't break it up into positions. It's everybody. Everybody comes to the rookie dinner. It's a whole team situation. The DBs are meddling with the wide receivers. The linemen are talking with the linebackers. You have a team atmosphere. And bringing that back to the Edmonton Oilers, you want an atmosphere on a winning team because you want to build that culture. You want to build a winning culture in a team, in an organization. And that begins with being friends. It may sound simple. It may sound goofy, but that's what it is. So if the Edmonton Oilers don't trade Warren Fogle, I won't be devastated, because he does have the camaraderie. He has a motor. He is one hell of a hockey player. But we saw the numbers. It's not fantastic. He would bring in an asset. He would help the Oilers in some way if the Oilers did move him. So a little bit of this, a little bit of that. That's why I get to C, not an F, because I wouldn't mind seeing him back with the Oilers next year. Anyways, I've rambled on enough. We shall call it there. I hope you have a wonderful Tuesday. Sorry again for having this out a little later, but for the rest of the week, we shall have our episodes out at the normal time. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of the week. I hope you stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.